Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. Jesus' words to his disciples. They were wondering. They were in and around the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. Well built, sturdy, huge stone architecture. In fact, so well cut, you couldn't slide a credit card between the stone blocks. I never thought I would work in a building like this. But the Temple of Jerusalem in the first century, second century AD, must have been a magnificent thing to see. And Jesus said, it's not the temple. It's not about the temple. In fact, the temple's going to come down. And in Mark, we don't know, in this passage, was he talking about the temple which would be destroyed in just a few decades, or was he talking about his own crucifixion? But he said the temple will be destroyed. But that's not the end. That's not the end. So I want you to picture the disciples a couple decades after Jesus talks to them and the other early Christians who've been following the way of Jesus, of love, of mercy, of forgiveness. And in 70 AD, their temple was destroyed. Thinking back, what was it Jesus said? Was this the end or was this not the end? I don't remember. What did he say? Because that is how it has been for every generation of Christians since then. A terrible catastrophe happens. And we start looking at each other and we go, is this the end? You've all heard the quote about Martin Luther in his day. He said, you know, if I'm told that the world will end tomorrow or Jesus is coming back tomorrow, I'll plant a tree. Because the faithful response to darkness is moving forward in faith that God's got this. God's got this. God will bring us through. And so when Paris gets bombed, immediately the televangelists come on and they say, well, this is the end of the world. See, earthquakes and wars. What is our response? What is our response? A couple stories. This past Tuesday, there was this big storm. Anybody have damage? Yeah, bad storm. And I was over at Knox College at an ensemble concert. And it was students and community musicians, and it was just a lovely way for musicians to share their abilities and their work together. And we heard the storm start coming, and the winds blowing, and the rain coming down. And there was this quartet of woodwind players, two clarinets and two flutes, and they're all students. And they started playing their piece, and they're doing extremely well, and it's delightful. And the lights go out. And my immediate thought is, are they going to stop? But you could sense this little piece of resolve in these girls. And they kept playing. And I'm thinking, they're probably thinking, we're just going to play until we don't remember any more notes. But while they're playing, the lights came back on. And they didn't miss a beat. And I thought immediately, there's got to be a sermon illustration in there somewhere. And here it is. And there's several, and you'll probably go home and you'll come up with some more. When you are prepared for darkness to happen, for these girls, it was knowing their music well enough to play a few measures ahead. I don't know if they had the whole thing memorized and they could have finished the piece. We'd all sat there in the dark and clapped. But when you're prepared for the dark, and you know that eventually the light will come back on, the dark isn't so scary. All right? Terrible things have happened in the past. Terrible things will happen in the future. God is with you through all of them. God is your light, your rock, and your salvation. Keep playing in the dark until the light comes back on, because it will. We're in a period of transition at the church here. And things are going to be different. For some of you who have not ever known another musician other than Betty, it's going to feel pretty dark. The lights will come back on. I promise. Here's the answer in our second lesson, though. And I love this word. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. You don't usually think of that, those words together. Most often we think of provoking someone as what a little brother might do to a big sister. Right? Oh, I'd love to provoke you. Well, what I want you all to think about doing is putting your hands on your hips and thinking about how you can provoke one another to love and do good deeds. Because when you love and do good deeds in the dark, I think we see the light faster. I really do. Second story. I went to go see Our Town last night, the community, Prairie Players Community Theater production down in their new building. And I love this show. We've done it in places past. So I got there about 20 minutes early. I sat down, and the guy sitting next to me was really chatty, which, you know, believe it or not, you know, when I go to a play or a concert and I'm sitting next to a stranger, I don't usually engage, or not too much. You know, we'll be friendly, but not necessarily chatty. So this guy starts chatting, and who are you? And we think we maybe have seen each other before, but we're trying to place it. And so I'm the pastor down at First Lutheran. He said, oh, I've been to all sorts of concerts down there. That's a great church. And then because when people know that you're a religious person, they're like, they have to come up with some kind of small talk. So he said, my family, my grandparents and parents, they were Russian Orthodox. I'm like, wow. That's not something you usually hear people say conversationally. But my question back to him was, what part of Russia was your family from? And he said, Ukraine. And I said, really? My family's from Odessa, which is in Ukraine. And his eyes got really big. And he said, well, so is mine. And he looks at me and he says, so do you speak Russian? Only he said it in Russian. I said, no. My ancestors were Volgadeutsch. And he looks at me a little confused. And I said, well, that's the Germans that were enticed by Catherine the Great to come to Russia to farm the land, because Catherine promised the sun, the moon, and the stars to these farmers. And you know, a couple of the promises were you wouldn't have to be in the military, you wouldn't have to pay taxes on your land, blah, 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 blah. And that was good for about 100 years, and then there was Tsar Nicholas. And Nicholas was the cruelest of the cruel. And my family realized they needed to escape or their village would be destroyed. And he said, well, my grandpa was in the Tsar's army, and he talks about when he would have to destroy those villages. And he said, my grandpa couldn't take it, and he escaped and brought his family to Pennsylvania. So here we are, sitting on the opposite sides of history, in a theater together in Galesburg. Now here's the irony. We piece it together that we know each other because he's my insurance agent. So, the ancestor of the Tsar's army is the guy I call if I have a loss of property or wreck my car or have a house fire. He'll take care of me. Point is, we never know how God's providence works, but it works. When you hear terrible news on the news, when you're struggling with change, when you're struggling with grief, when you're struggling with illness, know that God is right there with you, holding your hand, guiding you through it, loving you. May the grace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.